Hi.
I'm Jordan.
And today we're going to be talking about the first episode from the Telltale's The Walking Dead Season 1 called A New Day. And before we actually talk about the game, we wanted to say thank you for the support from Callum on Patreon. He signed up, so thank you so much for that. And if you'd like to learn more about Patreon, just go to patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed, and you can find out details on how to support the show that way if you'd like, and that you'd get a bonus episode that's essentially just on Patreon each month by doing that. So go check that out if you are interested there. And then also we did want to give one disclaimer about the game beforehand, which is that we've actually played this before, but it was like 5 years ago or something.
Maybe six, but yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but we won't spoil forward at all. So anything we talk about will be confined to the episode we're actually in. So if you've never played this game, you don't have to worry about us spoiling something that happens in a future season or something like that. We'll strictly keep, or a future episode even, we'll keep it confined to this. So, but we wanted to give you a heads up, up front, I guess.
Yep. Transparent.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, cool. Jumping in, description here is, this is an episode one of a 5-part game series set in the same universe as Robert Kirkman's award-winning series, plays Lee Everett, a convicted criminal who has been given a second chance at life in a world devastated by the undead. Experience events, meet people, and visit locations that foreshadow the story of Deputy Sheriff Rick Grimes. A tailored game experience, actions, choices, and decisions you make will affect how your story plays out across the entire series.
All right, so the game begins, and you're Lee, and you are in the back of a police car that's leaving Atlanta, and you're on your way to prison. As you're in the car, the police officer starts to ask you questions, starts being like, oh, this is the point you'll say where you didn't do it, or, you know, whatever, because I guess his job typically has been the police officer that takes people to jail. And as your conversation is going on, you start seeing various emergency vehicles heading towards Atlanta. Like, you see, like, a police car zoom by. You see an ambulance zoom by. Like, it's kind of weird. You're like, okay, this is a little odd to see this many emergency vehicles headed the opposite way of us. And then the police officer gets a couple radio signals like, all available officers, please report to this place, blah, blah, blah. And he just turns it off and he's like, ah, that thing's a bunch of racket.
Yeah, not a real police officer.
No, yeah. I guess it maybe makes sense why he's the guy who just drives someone to prison. Maybe he's not that good of a police officer.
Yeah.
So while the police officer is talking with you, you see a walker stumble into the highway, and you yell for him to watch out, but it's too late. He runs into the walker, and he crashes the car off of the side of the highway, and it kind of rolls down a hill. Lee then wakes up in the back of the police car that's on its side, and he's injured. He's got, it looked like maybe like a, it wasn't this, but if a piece of rebar like went in your leg or something like that, like he got an injury mm-hmm. there. And so then he busts out of the car and he looks over and he sees the officer dead, I don't know, maybe 10 feet away. And so Lee decides to approach him to get the keys for the handcuff to be able to take his handcuffs off and figure out what the fuck to do. He gets there and he does uncuff himself, but the officer reanimates at this point. He's a walker. And he comes after Lee. Lee obviously doesn't know what the fuck's going on and makes his way back to the police officer's car, where he takes a shotgun and kills the walker officer. But a ton of other walkers show up, attracted by the noise. And Lee runs away from all these walkers that are chasing him. And he's going pretty slow because his leg's injured. So he's like hobble running.
Mm-hmm.
He makes his way to a house that has a tall fence. And he hops over the fence to go inside the house.
Pretty crazy intro. Like, I mean, I remember when when we played this the first time years ago, just how anxious it made me to take the keys off this dead dude, knowing that any moment he could come back to life and eat my face.
Yeah, that was a great scare. As you're like, okay, is he gonna bite my hand when I like put put it down here? Like, it really felt that tension, which was great. That was awesome. You arrive at this house, and we end up finding out it's Clementine's house a little later. But we walk inside the house, and we're looking around for help. And inside, he goes through like a sliding glass door, so he can kind of like peer in at first to try to see if anyone's there. And he sees no one's there, so he opens it up. And in between kind of the dining room and the kitchen, there's just a big pool of blood on the ground. And he's like, okay, that's not good. So Lee starts to explore the house. You end up seeing that there's a bunch of voicemails on the phone. And you listen to them, and it's Clementine's mom. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
I forgot about this.
Yeah, this is painful.
Yeah, so the first message is like, Clementine's mom's kind of like, hey, babysitter, like, tell Clementine we'll be back an extra day. Like, we got held up in Atlanta, so we got to stay a little longer. Then the next one's like, hey, we had to go to the hospital because her dad got hurt. He got bit by someone or something weird. So we'll just be at the hospital for a little bit. It'll be okay. And then the last one's her like sobbing. It's like, Clementine, I love you. Go be safe. Go to the police. Go somewhere else. You know, like, I love you so much. And she's like hysterical at this point. And you're like, oh no.
Yep. It's the end for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. So sad. Oof. Then you find this walkie talkie in the house, and Clementine calls you, and she, at first, I thinks you're her dad from far away. And she's like, dad? And you're like, no, I'm not your dad. Where are you? I didn't say where are you, because I wanted to build trust. But I was just like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm in my treehouse. You know, everything's okay. And you're like, oh, okay. And you try to, like, I don't know. I really tried to make her feel comfortable and see if she's okay, basically.
Yeah, I took the same route. The not too many, like, what are you doing? Where are you? Come find me. More of the how are you doing questions.
Yeah, yeah. Just to, I don't know, build that rapport and trust with her. So I do that, and then a walker comes and attacks us, which I'm guessing is the babysitter.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So this walker starts attacking us, right by the glass door. It's not going well. Lee being injured, and maybe being a NARP.
Yep.
A little bit here is having, some struggles with the walker, and he like slips on the blood, and like, it's kind of a shit show. And we're like kind of fending it off, and Clementine shows up behind us at the door, at the sliding glass door, and she's like, here, I have something to help, and it's a hammer, which we take it, and we fuck that walker up and kill it. So then...
It's funny that Clem just knows what's up. She's like, yeah, here, use this hammer to murder this thing.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if she's just been watching everyone and what they've been doing successfully or unsuccessfully from the treehouse. Like, okay, here's our neighbor three doors down the street. He doesn't know what he's doing, and now he's getting eaten. Or, you know, here's that one guy, but he seems fine. I don't know. So then talking with Clementine, we tell her, hey, we'll stay with you until your parents come home. How's that sound? And Clementine's like, yeah, that'd be really nice. Like, I like that.
Which we know is... not gonna happen.
Yeah, it's basically forever, probably, but like,
yeah,
we don't want to tell her that they're gone. I guess we don't officially know. I mean, I guess we know her dad's gone.
Yeah,
I guess her mom could theoretically be okay, but I mean, probably not. She's in Atlanta, so not looking good. we decide then we can choose to either try to leave her house right now or leave once it's dark. We decide to leave now. We end up meeting Sean Green and Chet, who are outside in the front yard on the street, and they're clearing out cars of the road so they can go through to go home. Because already, even in whatever town Clementine lives in, like, there's just a shitload of abandoned cars everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quick. Like, hours later.
Yep. And so we help them move the cars out of the way. We jump in their truck and we head off with them to Sean's family farm. That's, you know, a little bit of ways, but since it's a farm, it's in a less populated area, so it's probably safe. So that's great. That seems positive.
Mm-hmm.
We get there and we find out that this is Herschel's farm, who, if you watch the TV show, you know him from that.
And he's very different in this game.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely different in the game than the show. Way different. I think that, I don't remember 100%, but I think Herschel in the comic might be a bit more like this. So, I think that the Walking Dead games might actually be sort of a part of the comic universe, but I'm
sure. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Either way, though, yeah, this Herschel is far different than Herschel from TV. So, Herschel cleans out your injured leg, which is cool. I believe he's a vet.
Both
the show and the game, but so he's got some medical skills, which is cool, but he's kind of an asshole and is basically like, I don't like people on my farm kind of attitude. And he also doesn't think zombies are real. He's like, oh, this will all blow over. And Sean's like, no, Dad, like, you didn't see what we saw. It's bad. Tell him, Lee. And we're like, yeah, Sean's right, it's bad. And Herschel's like, nah, this will blow over. That's a bunch of city talk. Like, he's super dismissive.
Yeah, you idiot.
Right. Yeah. It's just not willing to listen at all. So then we stay in the barn with Clementine. In the morning, we're supposed to leave. So it's basically like, you can stay here today, but I don't want people staying on my farm. So we're like, all right, fine, whatever. So the next morning, we get to meet Kenny, Katja, and Duck, which is cool. They were also actually staying on Herschel's farm as well. So I'm guessing before Sean met us, maybe we were on Sean's like second run or something down there. And on his first run, he met these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so,
makes sense.
Yeah. So Kenny is, I would say, about Lee's age. He's like kind of a hick from Florida, I would say.
Yep.
And then Katja is his wife, and she seems like she's like Eastern European or something like that. And then Duck is their kid, who's about Clementine's age but is really annoying.
Yeah, he's and really dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a dumb, annoying kid for sure. but it is kind of nice to meet someone who has a kid, so Clementine theoretically has a peer. That's nice. So then you can spend your time, you can talk with Kenny, get to know him a little bit, help him out with his car. You can go help Sean with the fence. Sean's rebuilding the fence to kind of reinforce it against walkers if they were to show up. And then you can help Herschel out in the barn, because Herschel's kind of attitude here is basically like, having extra people to take care of is added stress to me, so I can't get my jobs done, almost, or something. And so we're kind of like, okay, well, maybe we can smooth things over a little bit with you.
Yeah, pull our weight.
Right, exactly. So we do all of those things. While we're talking with Herschel, we have the opportunity to lie to him or tell him the truth, because he's basically like, all right, I know you're not who you say you are. What's the deals? Kind of thing. Because for me, when I first met him, I acknowledged, I'm like, I'm just a guy. I'm not like Clementine's dad. I met her when all this shit was going down, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I did the same thing.
And Herschel's pretty suspicious of us, kind of like, okay, what the fuck, dude? And we have the option to either tell him the truth or to lie. Both of us apparently lied. We, along with 46% of people, we lied to Herschel and didn't tell him what our real story was. But 54% of people did tell him the truth. for me, I guess I mostly lied to him because I was like, I'm not quite sure what my deal is, but it seems like it could only make you upset, essentially. So I'm like, I don't want to say I was on the way to prison just because that's not going to win me good graces from people.
Yeah, same, especially with him. He was already somewhat hostile and wanted us gone. So if we were, in his mind, at all, like, dangerous or a threat, he'd probably just be like, all right, get out of here.
Right.
So that was kind of my fear.
Right.
Telling him the truth.
Yeah, and even that telling him the truth, like, winning his trust isn't really worth it because he's going to make us leave anyway. Like, if by telling the truth would, like, bond us or something, maybe it would be worth it. But with him, it's like, he just wants us to go, so I feel like I'm like, all right, let's just keep it smooth and I'll keep going.
Yeah, there's no reward, high risk.
Right. We got a couple people who wrote in about their decisions. Chris on Twitter said, I told him the truth.
Harley on Twitter said, I said it was a car accident, so it's half truth.
Ashidi on Twitter said, truth.
And then Chris on Twitter said, told the truth. He seemed like the kind of guy who could smell bullshit from a mile away, which is true.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's funny. I don't know if we've ever had everyone choose different than us before, but you guys are all more truthful to Herschel than us, so that's kind of cool. But yeah, he could definitely smell the bullshit, though, like Chris said at the end, too. Because I like told him like a lie, and then he's like, I know that's not true. If you're going to be on the road and it's as bad as Sean says it is, you're going to need to get better at lying. It was like, okay. I'm glad you're not. I'm glad you busted my balls, but you're gonna let it slide too.
Yeah,
and we can just leave. So, yeah, that's our choice there. But then, actually, soon after, we end up having another choice, probably within like 5 minutes of this.
Yeah. So then, at this point, like, basically, walkers attack the farm, and you get in a spot where Duck, Kenny, and Katja's kid is basically going to get killed by them, or Herschel's son, Sean, is going to get attacked by them, or is getting attacked by them. So you have to choose which one to save. So Dan and I both, looks like, chose to save Duck, which 53% of people did. I guess for me, it was at a base level, I figured Sean would have a better chance of fighting off walkers by himself than Duck would, because he's, I don't know, 5 or something like that. So it just made more sense to me to save the kid over saving an adult, you know?
Yeah, I have the same kind of viewpoint. Is that, like, Sean maybe has a chance on his own. He could maybe, like, but if I get Duck out of the way, then I can help Sean next or something like that. But yeah, that was kind of my thought process too. Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Yep.
Chris on Twitter wrote in and said, Duck, I figured Sean had a better chance of fending for himself. Oops.
Yep. Calico on Twitter says, Duck.
And then Chris on Twitter said, I saved Sean. So, regardless of what happens here, actually, Sean gets killed by walkers either way. If we go to save Duck, then the walkers break through the fence and kill Sean. But if we go after Sean, Kenny still makes it to Duck and saves him, but Sean still ends up getting bit. So,
okay. Yeah. So either way.
Yeah, either way, you end up with Duck living and Sean dying. And when Sean's killed, Herschel gets pissed and kicks us out.
Which makes sense, I guess.
Right, yeah. Definitely makes sense. I understand that. And in this one's case, he's pissed at us because we didn't save Sean. We're like, what the fuck? We saw you not choose him. And you're like, he was a kid. I was trying to save both of them.
Yeah.
What do you mean? But I think it was easy to forget in this moment, too. I'm like, fuck, man. Because everyone's so shitty at surviving right now because it's so early. Because, you know, there weren't that many walkers. There was only like 3 or 4. But and I think we did end up killing them at that point. But, you know, we probably should have, you know, whatever. Since we're not real survivors yet, like, we should have just killed the walkers and then we could have saved each of them.
makes no sense.
Yeah, but you're no good at surviving this early on. So it makes sense, but I think that just being like a Walking Dead fan, my mind is conditioned in some ways for where Walking Dead the show is today, which is like far into the apocalypse where everyone's pretty skilled, because if mm-hmm. you weren't skilled, you'd already be dead.
Yep, and the best course of action is always to kill them first.
Right. Yeah, so it's kind of funny kind of reliving these and going back to the beginning where you're like, oh yeah, people aren't that good at surviving. And don't know what they're doing as much. Yep, so Herschel kicks us out. We end up hitching a ride with Kenny and his family, and Kenny says, you know, I'm going down to Florida. I've got a boat, and, like, we're going to ride this thing out, but I can drop you off along the way. We want to go to Macon, which is where Lee's from. And Kenny's like, yeah, that's on the way, so I'll drop you and Clementine off there, and then I'll head to Florida myself. And we make it to Macon, but we run out of gas when we get there, and we get out, and there's walkers everywhere. It's like a shit show. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
tons of walkers, and we're getting ready to get attacked. And again, not being good at survival, like we could all just be dead like right away.
mm-hmm.
But luckily for us, a group of people show up and save us, and we end up getting to hide out in a drugstore with them, which was cool. They showed up and, you know, shot some walkers and all of that. And this leads us to kind of our next big decision. So when they saved us, one of them shot this walker that was closing in on Duck. And so its blood got, like, all over Duck. Duck's, like, covered in blood. And Larry is one of the people there. He's this older guy who's a loudmouth asshole.
mm-hmm.
And he sucks. And he's saying, This kid got bit. Because he got bit, he's going to kill all of us in here. You have to kick him out. And Kenny and Katja are like, he didn't get bit. He just has blood on him from when your people shot a walker and the blood got on him. Like, he's not bit. He's fine. And they're like, no. And Larry's like, no, you got to kick him out. And this goes on back and forth. And you can choose to either side with Kenny or side with Larry here. And we both chose to side with Kenny. 54% of people did this. 46% of people sided with Larry, though.
I'm kind of surprised it's that high for that.
I am, too. Like, I knew going into this, obviously, that I didn't like Larry, and I thought he was an asshole, but I kind of forgot how much of an asshole he was. Even just interacting with here, you're like, you fucker, man. Like, he's an unrelenting douchebag. Like, he's only an asshole here, and like not even reasoning or anything like that, because I think the argument, it goes like you have like a decision before the decision. So I think I tried to be kind of more calm at first, and it wasn't really doing anything. And so then I just went like the aggressive pro Kenny side, and I was like, you old fuck, shut up. Like,
yeah.
I'll beat your ass kind of thing. And I was like, all right, yeah, fuck you. Like, which isn't normally how I play, but this guy, like, oh, fuck him.
Yeah, he's terrible. I mean, that's the reason why I sided with Kenny. I would never side with Larry in any circumstance. So by default, it's the other person. So Kenny.
Yeah, definitely.
And it makes sense to not just kick this kid out. Like, if he does turn, just kill him.
Right, yeah. It's just, if he was bit, like, you should take the time to figure it out, you know, anyway. Like, you should clean him off. Are there bites? Like, we could put him in a side room where we're not all at to make sure it's okay. Or, you know, like, there's a lot of solutions that aren't this.
Yep.
Yeah. Hello Coffee on Twitter said, Kenny will remember that. So they sided with Kenny.
Chris on Twitter says, Kenny.
And then Chris on Twitter said, Kenny, Larry was such an asshole.
Yep.
Yes. Total douchebag. So inside the drugstore, after this kind of confrontation, we get to kind of meet people and figure out who's there. So we meet Carly, Doug, Glenn, Lily, and Larry are all the people that are held up inside the store. And Glenn ends up leaving to go get some gas. So Glenn, I think, is pretty good at sneaking around, essentially. And so he's like, I'll go get gas down at the hotel. I saw it. And, you know, that'll help us be able to escape later. So that's cool. While we're inside the pharmacy and we're looking, while we're inside the store, we head into the pharmacy. And we're revealed that this is Lee's parents' place. This was the store that they had back home in Macon. But they're not there. You can't see them, but there is blood in the back office.
Which is never a good sign.
Right. So they're probably gone, but we haven't visually confirmed it. So, and while we're in the back office, Carly comes and talks to us. And she says, I know who you are. Because she's a reporter from Atlanta. So she'd actually even covered some of his case, I think, back then. And she's like, I know who you are, but I'll keep your secret. You know, if you cause any danger for our group, I will reveal it then. But I'll keep your secret. You do seem like a good person.
That seems like a reasonable and an ultimatum.
Yeah, I thought so too. I guess if like the world's fucked up, some of that stuff probably has to go away a little bit.
I would say so, because people are a resource at this point, so you kind of got to take what you get.
Right, exactly. It's like, will you be better at surviving with six people instead of seven? Like, probably not. So after this, we get a call from Glenn on the walkie-talkie saying he needs rescued. He's like, I was getting gas, but now there's a bunch of walkers, so I'm hiding. Come help me.
Classic.
Yeah, right. It was like, oh, come on, Glenn. And he tells us that when... Oh, no. Yeah. So we go there, us and Carly sneak out of the side of the store, because there's like a side by the alley that we can go down. So we do that to make our way down to the hotel. We get to the hotel and Glenn tells us that there's a woman who's inside there and she needs our help. And on our way to helping her, we get to kill a couple walkers and kind of figure out how to, because only Carly has a gun. Neither of us have guns, and so we have to like shimmy our way to getting weapons. So we end up getting like a screwdriver, and then we end up getting a fire axe, which was cool. We like use a car that's on blocks with an e-brake, and we let it go and like smash into one, like get kind of creative killing walkers. So then we make it to the actual hotel room where the woman needs rescued, and we talk with her.
And so, yeah, at this point, she's freaking out. I think she was bit, right?
Yeah.
And had seen what happens when you get bit. So she's not, like, unaware of the consequences, I guess. Right. So at this point, like, she's like, knows you have a gun. And she basically just, she wants to end it before she turns. So the choice is, do you give this lady the gun so she can kill herself before she turns, or do you not and keep the gun? So 52% of people refused and kept the gun, and then 47% of people gave her the gun, including myself and Dan. So I guess my thought process was, I mean, mercy, just, like, it doesn't, I mean, I guess it's dangerous because you're giving some person a gun. She could be lying and then she could just kill us and take our stuff. But it seemed like after questioning her and talking with her, she was hysterical and definitely was bitten and wanted to end it. So it seemed like the right call to me.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. Is like it like felt bad, because even when you like quote-unquote rescue her, you get there and she's like, I didn't want you to help me, like, that's why I was in this room, because I didn't want to turn and hurt anyone else, and you took that away from me, kind of thing. And it's kind of like,
I mean, we could just shut the door and leave.
Right. Yeah, it does feel like that could or should be an option in there. But yeah, similarly, I was kind of like, I get that. I think that when we played the game, I think I had a harder time choosing that. I think, again, the first time, choosing to give her the gun. Because I think we gave her the gun back then, too, but...
I think we did, but I think it was... It was cool. Again, for us, played this game or these games before, now it's more like, yeah, just kill yourself, it's better.
Right.
Kind of desensitized a little bit.
Right, having... Yeah, being familiar with the Walking Dead universe, it's kind of like, I can understand if you want to do that, and I don't want to stop you. But I think being newer to it back then, it was kind of like, yeah, I see where you're coming from, but I feel a bit worse about it. But, I mean, it, you know, it was still sad and rough, though, for sure. You're like, oh, man. And even within it, Carly and Glenn are both kind of like, can you do this? Like, this seems kind of fucked up. And you're like, I think it's the right thing still.
Uncertain.
yeah, it doesn't feel great. We let her do that, or we give her the gun, and she does it, but then we have to stay up there to pick the gun up because we can't leave it. Which was, that part was especially like a good gut punch. You're like, ah, fuck, man. Like,
yeah, we gotta watch what we did.
We gotta be there for it, and... You know, I don't know, the quote-unquote cost of it felt bigger than if she was just in the room by herself and we moved on. Like, it's kind of crazy. Chris on Twitter wrote, yes, I did give her the gun, even though I was pretty sure I knew it was going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, she's going to kill herself, isn't she? And, yep, she did.
Yep.
After this, we're back at the drugstore. And Lee and Doug go outside. The way the store is set up is it's got, like, you know, your glass doors, normal doors, but then it's got almost like a cage thing around it that's sort of like a half circle, I guess, is how I'd describe it. Like
it's like a an external door that blocks the main door, but it's a cage.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I mean, I feel like I have seen these before in front of stores, but it's kind of an odd thing. But what it does is it gives them protection, essentially, that they could be outside of the doors of the store and be able to look at the neighborhood to kind of see what's going on, which in this case is there's just a dickload of walkers everywhere.
Yeah.
But while they're looking outside, Lee actually sees his brother across the street as a walker. His brother was the pharmacy tech in his parents' store, and we see his brother in the scrubs with a telephone pole that had fallen on him, which was like, oof, rough. And we're like, okay, because we need to get into the pharmacy to be able to get some heart pills or something for Larry, because when we told Larry off, he was like, oh, my heart, and is fucked up. It's kind of like,
oh, bummer.
Yeah, you bitch. So with Doug, we're like, okay, we know that the keys will be there, or they're probably there. So if we get the keys, we can get into the pharmacy to get the pills for Larry, and then we could all leave from here, hopefully. So we decide to come up with a way to distract the walkers so that we could be able to run over there. So our plan here is, so the cage thing we have has like a padlock on it that we don't have a combo to. And so we break the padlock, and then we open it a little bit to grab a brick, and then shut it. And then Doug has a remote control that's like a universal one, and he's a big nerd, so he's able to...
Yeah, huge nerd.
Yeah, mega nerd. And so he's able to set to turn like all the TVs on at the electronics store across the street all the way up. So it's all like the staticky, like shh kind of thing, but it's behind glass. So we throw a brick through the window so that when that opens, that sound and then all the TV sound will draw all the walkers to it.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good idea.
Yeah, yeah, good idea. Good teamwork by Doug and Lee here. We do that, and then Lee slips out of the cage. Doug kind of shuts it behind him. It can't lock, but he shuts it behind him. And we run over to our brother to get the keys. Lee has to kill his brother and take the keys. And this is pretty rough. You get like a sad moment being like, I'm sorry I wasn't here to be with you guys. Like, I know you probably did your best for mom and dad or whatever. And you're like, oof. Yeah, it's sad. It seems like Lee probably really did care about his family, but I don't know if the murder trial was what separated them or if Lee had just kind of, once he moved away, stopped connecting with them. But either way, you could tell he cared a lot about him, and he kills him. And this is rough because he doesn't do a great job of it. He keeps axing him in like the side of the head.
Yeah.
Not killing him. And then he axes his head and actually kills him.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, even though it's really fucked up.
Yeah. It's like, come on, dude. Aim better.
Yeah. Just go for the top of the head.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He kept getting the neck. Like, you're like, oh, Lee, come on, man. It's your brother. So we take the keys and we run back to the store. We shut the gate behind us, but again, it can't lock because we broke the lock off to get out. But it is shut. So, I mean, like, it could be forced open if you're, like, pushing against it, but it won't just come open, essentially. So we make it back inside the store, and we say, good news, we got the pharmacy keys. So Lee and Lily go inside the pharmacy to get the meds, but it triggers the alarm in the pharmacy, which is bad.
Really bad.
It's super loud. All of a sudden, all the walkers in Macon are headed towards the store. As this is happening, Kenny just takes charge right away and immediately gives everyone jobs. He's like, I'm going to go to the car and pull that up. You people, like, gather supplies and go here. You know, he like, just directs everyone immediately. Like, he's just ready to go, which was cool. And he gives Lee, Carly, and Doug the job of holding the doors as long as we can. So buy us as much time as you can. So, you know, just push them shut. But then, you know, if you've got to, start fighting. But, like, let's, you know, we'll be able to all run to the car right around there and we can escape from there. So, sounds great. Good plan. Unfortunately, though, the walkers prove to be too much. They start breaking in through the door, breaking in through the windows. They're just really swarming the store. And our next decision is, who are we going to save? We've got Carly on one side of us who is struggling with a walker by her foot because she's got her gun and she's been, like, shooting them. And then Doug's been trying to push, like, a window closed nearby. And we have to choose. And there's, like, walkers threatening to pull him out of the window. And we have to choose, who are we going to save? In this, 51% of people ended up saving Doug, and then 48% of people saved Carly, including both of us.
Yeah, my thought here was Carly seemed more capable, and she had a gun, so it seemed like the better choice, I guess. Right. And also, I remember in our first playthrough of this years ago, we accidentally saved Doug. So I wanted to save Carly this time.
Yeah, that was my thought process too. And I thought about that because this was like, you know, with these decisions, they do give you a time limit. And so when we played the first time, we just didn't know what to do. And then I don't know if our controller was like face towards Doug more or something. It just happened and it was Doug. And we were like, well, I guess shit happens in these games sometimes. So I guess we got to roll with that. That's fine. And that was cool. But yeah, for me on this one too, I think that it was like, yeah, Carly is a good shot. So I do like that and would want her kind of on the squad. And maybe if we would have chose more the first time, I probably would have chose her then, but, for the same reason, but so, and yeah, I'm curious to see what happens with her,
in, yeah, me too.
Around. So we saved Carly. Skirps on Twitter wrote in and said, Carly, you're making me think back all these years.
Sarcasm on Twitter said, Carly.
And then Chris on Twitter said, Carly, I think it's been a while. So it looks like a lot of people were Team Carly of the listeners. So from here, after saving Carly, you see Doug get pulled out through the window and get killed. And then Carly, Clementine, and Lee run out of the office because Kenny arrived and he's like, all right, everyone run. It's time to go. So we're leaving, but as we're about to exit the door, Larry stands in front of the door and says, I know who you are. You're not coming with us, you fuck, and punches us in the head and knocks us out. That motherfucker.
Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah, so he punches us in the face and leaves us there to die. But then a second later, we wake up to Kenny pulling us in, and he's like, oh, what are friends for? I got you, buddy, kind of thing. And you're like, my guy.
Yep, and this is the moment. It's like, all right, Kenny's the dude. Gotta make or break.
Right, right. Yeah. I feel like this solidifies me as Team Kenny so much. Because when you first meet him, you're kind of like, I don't know. Like, you're kind of a loud asshole, but, like, you see him do something good like this. You're like, okay, I'm in. Like, and two, like, fuck you, Larry. We wouldn't got your stupid pills, and then you knock us out.
I know, seriously. What a dickhead. Man. First chance we get, we should kill him.
right. Exactly. Yeah, fuck him. Fuck him. That sack of shit.
Yep.
So after this, the group returns to the hotel from before. And we're talking to Glenn, and he's choosing to leave. He says, I've got to go to Atlanta. I've got friends there who probably need help, and so I need to go there to help them. And you can choose to kind of admonish him or wish him luck and, like, be positive and stuff. I, of course, was positive.
Yeah. We
know Glenn's going there anyway.
yep.
And so we do that, and Glenn's cool to us, and he jets. And what's cool about the hotel as a place to stay is that there's really only it's one of those, like, two-story hotels where all the doors are on the inside of the parking lot. And so there's only the one open area. And so we've got, like, some fence there and some cars blocking areas and stuff like that. So it's actually, like, a pretty good place to hold up, I would say.
Yep. It seems pretty safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is cool. We were there. And then from there, you get to go around and talk to the various characters. You can talk to Kenny and just kind of reaffirm, like, thanks, man. Like, and, you know, we're boys kind of conversation. You talk to Carly, and she's having some survivor's guilt and is like, why did you choose me and not Doug? And you have to kind of be like, it was a split second decision.
Like,
try to play it cool because you're not an asshole.
Yeah.
You talk to Clementine, who I think at this point she's like, I think the attitude she had right now is like, I've been really scared by these things, but you've saved me, and I really appreciate you.
Kind of thing. Yeah, starting to build some affection and trust.
Yeah, which is cool. Then you talk to Larry. He, of course, is a douchebag. He's like, you stay away from my daughter. I don't want you to hurt her. And it's like, hey, God, he's such a fuckhead because he's, like, trying to act all, like, protective like that. But then at the same time, like, Lily is, like, a Air Force or Marine or something. And he seems to be maybe ex-military or something, too. Like, he seems capable.
Yeah. He's just, like, old.
Right. And it's like, you guys are good survivors, but then you're, like, just being a douchebag. Like, ugh. I do not like him at all.
Yep, he sucks. He's the worst character of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. He's... I don't know if anyone makes me as mad as easily as him. So he tries to, like, give us some bullshit talk. Then Lily comes and talks to us right after, and it's like, God damn it. Like, I don't want to talk to you because your dad just told me not to. But she's like, thanks, Lee. Like, you're a good guy. I misjudged you, kind of thing, essentially. Her, and then Kenny comes and talks to us too. And they're all pretty optimistic, and they're like, I think this hotel could work. This is a good setup. You know, we could probably hold out here for a while before help comes or whatever. and then a little bit later, all the lights go out. boom. And that's the episode. So I guess moving on to a couple general thoughts. one thing I really liked in this is I loved returning to where it all started, both, you know, where Walking Dead the game starts, but even for us in a lot of ways of going back and playing the first game that, like, was a choice-based game and kind of drew us into the style of game that we hadn't really played a lot of before. I really liked going back there and just kind of re-experiencing that and reliving it and being like, this is pretty fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and there's so many, like, small details that I'd totally forgotten about. And then, like, yeah, as I was playing through it, like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that, or I forgot about that, or, oh, that thing was really cool. And, yeah, it was a lot of, what's the word for it? Like, reminiscent playing this. I remember playing in the basement of my old house and kind of it was dirty and it was dark. And we were just playing this game and freaking out about things that were happening. And yeah, it like brought back a lot of really cool memories.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, no, totally same. Cause I remember when we got this, it was, I think we just played like once a week or something like that. And we're just like playing an episode a week and we kept, you know, we'd play it. And then during the week we'd be like, oh man, I can't wait to see what happens next. Like, okay, how are we going to play as Lee? Like, what, you know, like, it just brought all of that, which was so cool. I mean, I feel like that's what these games are at their best. And, like, it felt like just reliving some of that for the first time again, which was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, too, as we the more we played, some of my roommates would, like, watch and ask us when we were going to play next. They could watch us play it because they were pretty into it, too.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was cool. That's like a really good memory to go back down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's just similar, but I just love playing as Lee. Like, yeah, the throwback, the original. Yeah, I'd forgotten a lot of, you know, why I loved this first season so much. And most of it's because of Lee and Clementine. They're dynamic, but it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. I feel like he's almost like immortalized in my mind. Like, I just think of him really highly from remembering playing back in the day, you know, and stuff like that. But then getting to re-experience just those little things, it's like, this is great. Yeah, I guess even related to Lee, I had forgotten that Lee was probably definitely a murderer. I think I thought it was more ambiguous, but in the conversations having, like, with Carly and even with the police officer and stuff like that, it was like, oh yeah, you fucking did this. which I'd kind of forgotten. I thought it was a little more like, oh, he said she said thing, but he's going to jail. Instead it seems like, no, we all say you did it.
Yeah, I think that ambiguity comes from, like, why he did it.
Right.
Like, maybe it wasn't, I mean, it's never good to murder someone, but maybe it wasn't as evil as it seemed, I think.
Right, because the part that I heard made it seem, one of the things someone said was that, like, he killed a senator and his wife because the senator and his wife were hooking up or something. Uh-huh. And
yeah, it's so, just like, not the best decision, but I could see why you would do that.
Oh, right, if it's the crime of passion kind of thing, like, of that. So it sounded like it was that, but for some reason I just remember, I must have forgotten that he really did kill someone. Oh, and when when you talk to Clementine and you tell her about it, you're like, I did kill someone. You're like,
confessed to it.
Yeah, I told her because I was like, I'm going to be honest with her. Like, I was like, I did kill someone. They weren't a walker. And it wasn't good or something like that. Like, I tried to, like, say it the best I could, but it was like, man, fuck. Like, I had definitely forgotten. I think I had, in my head, was kind of like, well, he was on the way to jail, but maybe he didn't do it. And instead it's like, he probably did it.
Definitely killed someone for sure.
Yeah, which is crazy. I'd just forgotten that.
Mm-hmm. I did too. Yeah, one thing too is, man, we played lots of other games, and I think my favorite interactions are young Clementine with Lee. Like, I just forgotten how enjoyable seeing that was, or how much, you know, you wanted to play to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really cool.
Yeah. I really agree with that. Being able to play, have young Clementine there, and you're like, I will protect you at all costs. Like it feels like that so much. Like,
mm-hmm.
like you are my number one priority. Like, nothing else matters, which is great. And yeah, just seeing young Clementine, she's super cute. It's great. It's totally, totally good.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I had was, I think I forgot how sad this game is. Like, mm-hmm. I remember key sad things from it, but even just this first episode, pulling no punches, like seeing Lee's brother, the messages, having to choose Doug or Carly, like there's a lot of things that are like fucked up right away, and you're already like, man, this game is going for gut punches immediately. And I think I'd kind of forgotten how rough some of that stuff was. And I was just like, man, well done. Well done. Because like, I think when Walking Dead, or really probably anything of this kind of genre, is at its best, is where it like makes you care and feel sad about the things, as opposed to like, there's monsters, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't know. I was just really impressed that they really hit that tone really well. Like, I think that if Walking Dead as a whole was always this style, it would probably be considered really good instead of some show with monsters. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I mean, this mm-hmm. stuff's like hardcore.
Yeah. And then, yeah, even thinking about like the voicemails, I'd forgotten all about that. And those were incredibly sad.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess my last thought too, that's really related, is they have that, there's like that music they play during certain moments where like Lee's talking to Clementine or something, which is like, man, stop it. This is just, you know what I mean? There's like that little soundtrack that goes, and I think it's probably in every episode, whenever something sad happens, just freaking gets me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. They land their music for sure. It's like they really have it add to it. Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that's episode one of The Walking Dead mm-hmm. season one. Next time, we'll be back in 2 weeks with episode two. So, yeah, definitely come back for that. I'm excited to keep going in this game. Just playing this last week or whatever, just was like, oh my gosh, this is so great. Like, I can't wait to just play through all the episodes.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess also, if you want to get in contact with us, you can do that on Twitter at StoryEverPod. You could send us an email at thegreateststoryeverplayed@gmail.com. If you want to check out our website, that's got kind of, you can listen to the episodes directly on there, or you can get links to like whatever podcast app you use, or, you know, any of that stuff. It's thegreateststoryeverplayed.com. Also, like, some of the bonus episodes we've done are listed on there. There's a link to our Patreon, all that stuff. So check that out if you'd like. If you'd like to support the show financially, you can do that at patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. If you want to check that out, we'd appreciate that as well. If you would like to support us just by getting the word out more, rating and reviewing us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts, that would also help out a lot to just increase visibility. So if you'd like to do that, that would be cool too. Yeah, I guess that's what we've got. So we'll see you next time.
Later.